Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. What's today? November 9th. You ready for Thanksgiving?
I guess.
Are you ready to give some thanks?
Always.
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 Well, listen, today we got Matt Holton on the podcast, and you're a handyman. And so you have Matt, a man who can, which is a great name.
That's me.
Yeah, man. Yeah. How are you?
Good, good.
Well, Rob West sent your name, and if Rob West sends your name, you've got to be a good guy.
That's what I heard. I heard he's the man.
It's a lot, he puts a lot of expectations on us.
Yeah, he does.
If you fall into Rob West's radar, all of a sudden now we got to be a good guy. Yeah. Not that you weren't a good guy, but well, listen, I thought it'd be fun. I was looking at your website. I was like, you're that guy. You're the guy that we're all looking for, the handyman guy.
Yep. So I found a niche in the market where, you know, these big builders don't want to do the little jobs.
Yeah.
I've kind of built the business on that. And it keeps all our skills sharp. We do different things every day. So,
well, I would think that would be actually kind of cool because it's sort of, listen, I'm not going to compare our careers, but I, as a hairdresser, you know, and every person walks in and, you know, you got to be able to, you know, give some answers.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. And we meet, you know, tons of customers. So, you know, meeting new people around the community. It's great.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at your site. It says we bring ideas home. It says custom furniture, deck repairs and builds, flooring installation, odd jobs. That's the good one. Outdoor living and gazebos, remodels, renovations, storage, organization solutions, and so much more.
A little bit of everything.
Dude, I just had a client was asking me if I knew anybody that would do some work on a bathroom. And I had a guy, but he went to Florida. So you might be my new guy.
I'm the guy.
I love it. What's your favorite thing to get into?
So actually, my favorite thing is the odd jobs. You know, it takes your brain. You know, you got to figure whatever it may be. It takes a lot to figure it out, and I like using my brain.
Well, I know, and I saw the first one, custom furniture. We just bought a new house and it has these big windows, right? And I'm like, I want to put this live edge table. And a friend of mine owns some property. He's like, yeah, we can cut the wood. And it was going to be a whole thing. I ended up finding sort of the table that worked.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of a live edge. It was kind of an unkempt edge. I don't know what the real definition for a live edge is, but it worked. But I was in a bit of a pickle. And it looks like custom furniture, you might be able to do
absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely.
Do you like that? Because that seems to be sort of trending right now, that live
edge.
It
is. The live edge, that's the new thing. We've done a couple pieces, you know, with color and epoxy. So,
oh, do you do the epoxy too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I went down some YouTube channel the other night with this guy. I forget his name, but yeah, he was doing some great epoxy stuff.
You know, sometimes, you know, we've learned through those channels too. You know how to be creative. So,
cooperation over competition.
Yep.
Listen, I forget who it was. Someone said, listen, you grow up and you surround yourself with smart people. And
that's,
I was like,
right.
Oh, my God, that seems
knowledge
like sort
is power.
Of an out.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah, no, I love it. YouTube's great. Well, and there's, the jury's out a little bit on the acrylic. You know, some people are like, why you put the acrylic in? And some people are like, you know, I get it. So have you heard people talk about that?
No, not so much.
I guess if somebody calls you and asks you to do an acrylic sort of table like that, they're probably pro.
Oh, yeah. Pro acrylic, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like putting in the little bow ties?
Oh, to keep it together? We have before. They seem to work.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think it's sort of visual, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I mean, there's something really cool about a completely different piece of wood somehow in the other wood.
Right.
And looks like it's perfectly
together.
That's awesome. Well, I will tell you that... One of the last time that my other friend that was a handyman who's down in Florida, he built us an addition, and that's kind of puts everything into one little project, whether it's, you know, woodworking or
right. Yeah,
framing.
You're using all your skills to kind of do it all. So I have two guys full-time guys that work for me. So, you know, building like a huge addition, we don't really do just because it's only, you know, three of us. Right. But, you know, all the little details inside, you know, we might do that. More bathroom remodels, you know, something a little smaller than a big house or big addition.
Do people build big additions?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like the size of houses.
Right.
Big additions.
It's crazy.
It's crazy, I know.
Well, it was fun because we were actually living in a manufactured home, and I was like, you know, we need a fourth bedroom. And, you know, manufactured homes, double wide is what we were living in. You know, they're cool, but they're not too tall on the edges.
Right. Right.
You know, so he had to figure out how to make a doorway that we could get through.
That would work.
That
right.
would work.
Right.
And I hadn't really thought about that. It was great to have his experience, and he could figure that out. And I'm sure that those are just one of many challenges that come with every
project. What was his business name? Or did he just kind of do it on the side?
No, he had a business name. It was Ronnie. I don't remember.
I was just curious.
But no, he's in Florida. I get. Well, he had a daughter, and his daughter was having a child.
Now a hurricane's coming.
Yeah, I heard that. Well, I don't know. Is it coming here?
Supposedly.
Dude, I stopped watching the weather.
I know. You can't believe what they said.
I sort of checked out. I kind of gave up on the news. I gave up on the weather. I like the old the weather rock. Right?
It's probably more accurate.
Right. If it's wet, it's raining. No, what is it? The weather knot. You know, if it's swinging, it's windy.
Right.
Whatever it is. Do you, how'd you get into this? So one of the things I like about this podcast and the reason I sort of got into it is sort of from my own story, which is, you know, I was doing one thing, whether it was, you know, for me, it was working for a person, you know, great company, you know, a lot of appreciation for them. But at some point, I just wanted to do something on my own. And I'm sure you got, whether we'll hear your story. For me, I had certain people around me be like, do it, do it. And some people were like, ah, more likely that was me. Ah, but the other people like, do it, do it. And finally, a friend of mine, Matt, was like, listen, either do it or shut up. And if you want to do it, he's like, I can help you. I can put you in touch with some people. You know, I always say Rhonda Myers, who's now retired, but she was over at Community Bank, which is a great bank for small business in this area.
Really? County Bank?
Community.
Community Bank. Okay.
Community Bank.
Okay.
Delaware. They're amazing. Listen, out of all the people, because at some point we had to get some money. I had to get some money. And I went to all the different banks. Nobody would lend me any money. I went to Community Bank. They lent me some money. I won't say it was a lot. They're smarter than me. They probably knew best. You know,
right.
This would be enough.
But enough to get it. Yeah, get you going.
Enough to get me started, but not enough to get me in trouble.
Right.
Right. And they were really good, but he put me with Rhonda Myers, ended up with Preston Shell. He ended up leasing me the spot, and off I went. And wow, what a real life changer. So talk about your story. Were you doing something first and sort of the same sort of thing?
Yeah, so I went in the military right after high school.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. So I did that. I was on a nuclear power submarine. Did that for 4 years. So when I got out, I went to college full time. I actually got my bachelor's degree in engineering. I thought that was my life plan. Got a job with Purdue as an electronics engineer technician. Did that for a couple years. And on the side, I was always kind of, you know, helping friends, or my name started getting out to neighbors that I can do this or that. One thing led to another, and I quit my full-time job one day and never looked back.
Never looked back.
And it's the greatest decision ever.
That's awesome.
Working for yourself, there's nothing like it.
Well, it's funny. My dad was, I think he has a master's degree in engineering. He's a retired colonel from the Air Force. And I always laugh at him, like, your life's always been, you know, I mean, thank you for service, Dad. But, you know, you've always been told exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You've had this sort of regimented sort of, you know, thing going on. He's never had to, like, create anything or come up with, like, a wild idea, which is great. He liked that, you know, but sometimes I don't know if he realizes the struggle, right? And there's really, sometimes it can be a struggle between being in a job, which I'm sure you appreciated. Purdue, I'm sure, was great.
Yeah, yeah.
But also knowing, man, I like this, you know,
I
want to
do something more. Yeah.
Right. And so you got into it.
Yeah. And I love it. You know, it's like I said, something new every day. Meet all people, all kinds of walks of life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been awesome.
Now, where'd you grow up?
I'm originally from Baltimore, but we moved here when I was maybe 8 or 9.
Okay.
And then I live right in Milton.
All right. So you've seen some great. I moved here in 94. I always say, listen, we've seen a lot of great work going into this area to get it to the point where it's at today.
Yeah, now it's kind of crazy now.
We suffered through it, right?
Yeah.
We've suffered through it. But you've seen a lot of changes. You see a lot of the building. How'd you end up in Milton? Is that where you like to, you know, do most of your work? I did see that you'll pretty much go Milton, Rehoboth, Lewis.
Yeah, Bethany. Yeah, we stay, right here, kind of on the coast, as high up as Milford and then down to Bethany, Fenwick. But the road that I grew up on, Martin's Farm Road, I grew up with my parents there. And a couple years ago, a house came up for sale, like 10 houses down from them, and couldn't pass it up.
Right.
So I live right on the road I grew up on.
Well, listen, you remind me of a guy like myself who's very family-oriented. You know, I'm my dad, unfortunately, we lost my mom a couple years ago, but my dad's still here. First guy from Delaware to go to the Air Force Academy, still here.
Oh, awesome.
But, you know, it's important that I'm here for him as he's going to be, he's 85. And it always blows me. Are your parents still here?
Mm-hmm. Both of them here.
Yeah, it blows me away to be, and listen, everybody's story is different, but I couldn't imagine being away from my parents. Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's like my dad told me the other day, he goes, I am surprised that you and your brother take care of me. And I go, man, it's an honor.
Yeah,
man.
that's part of life. You know, you get to that stage, and then they took care of you all these years. Now it's kind of time returning favor.
Well, and you know, it's funny because as we're young, we got fear. You know, what am I going to do one day? And your parents are always there to, like, kind of keep you, you know, grounded. And then as our parents get older, they get a little bit like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Like, hey, man, I got you.
Yep.
That's awesome. Did your dad, was he in this sort of business?
Or? No, actually, he is not very handy at all.
he is a client.
Yes, he is a client. I have a couple.
Consistent clients.
Yes. He's on me to actually get over there and do some things. Because you can't charge your parents, though.
No.
He's actually retired from General Motors in Baltimore.
Right.
My mom retires this year. She's a teacher for Scope over in Bridgeville.
Thank you for your service.
Yep. She was an assistant principal in Milford for many years. She had worked for me part-time. She answers my phone calls. Hopefully when she retires, she helps some more.
That was like my mom. Well, I can come and help. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to need you Tuesday.
I know.
Oh,
I was a
bridge.
Little iffy at first, and I'm like, all right, I'll give it a try. But she's been great. She's a big help.
She enjoys it.
Yeah, and she loves it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, my mom's like, well, I got bridge on Tuesday. I'm like, well, how about Thursday? ladies golf. I'm like, you're fired. So what is your, what are you seeing now? I'll just talk. I mean, down here on, there was a, I don't know the year, but I would say like mid-90s to the mid-2005, maybe this whole drive-it thing kind of swept across the land and was driving on the building where I'm at. And now we're starting to see a lot of problems with drive-it. You know, a lot of leaking, staining. I'm sure it's a great product. My brother did drive-it. You know, it's a great wall finish. But, you know, all of a sudden when things start happening, people are like, Matt, you need to fix my drive-it. What are you seeing? Are you seeing some issues that are starting to pop up?
Oh, absolutely. We're in, you know, less than year-old homes, you know, tearing off half the side of the house to get to a leak.
Yeah,
It's partially where we live, just because of the driving wind and rain. But yeah, there's a lot of leaking problems with these new. They're putting them up so fast too.
Yeah, well, we just had a new house built, and Shell built it. And during the process, I was very, you know, don't talk shit about Shell because these guys are good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but we've had a few issues,
And they don't want to come.
No. In their defense, they do come.
I've heard mixed stories.
No, they're very good about that. And I think it, you know, of course, we buy a house right in the middle of one of the weirdest times that we've gone through. I know at least that I've gone through. So expectations, understanding, you know, because we basically were right at the end of the pandemic. So everything just kind of was on a hold. And then everybody said, go. And so I think people were, you know, getting projects done. I mean, they got to stay in business, right? So, but they've been really good as far as taking care of any warranty stuff.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Luckily, my wife isn't working right now, so she's able to be there because I think, and we say it all the time, God, if I was working, I don't know how we would get there because they're like, hey, we'll be over at 2 o'clock.
Right. How do you get there?
Yeah, and you're like, oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. So, but Yeah, we've had so many houses go up. And I've heard a lot of fun stories, and I won't say any builders, but like people like, we didn't even have an air conditioner. Like they didn't, it was never hooked up.
I know, yeah, crazy stories. Crazy stories.
But we also hear a lot of great stories about a lot of great stuff being built as well. I don't I don't want to sound negative because
it goes both ways.
You know, and we mentioned Shell, and they do seem to take a lot of the heat, but they make a nice product. I mean, visually it's nice. They do nice neighborhoods. I know where we moved. It's just beautiful. I can't imagine that corner was better unless you just like a field of trees, which I do
get. Where is it at?
We're over on Robinsonville and Jimtown Road.
Okay.
Outer Banks. Yep.
Oh, Outer Bank, yep.
Yeah, so, okay. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean,
that is a pretty development.
Yeah, they came in and they just, and I didn't realize this, but they did street work, they did entrances, you know, I guess there was probably like, hey, you can build here, but tighten up this side of the road.
Yeah, they do traffic studies to make sure, you know, their roads are, if they need turn lanes or whatnot.
Yeah, so it was very beautiful. You know, I know we do have a lot of people moving here and a lot of houses, but, you know, for the most part, it's pretty tactful. I think it looks good. And I actually, you know, as a guy that's really, I didn't grow up here, but I will say I did grow up here. You know, the times have changed, and I was living down in Rehoboth. It's become so crazy moving out of Rehoboth, which I never thought I would do, has been kind of nice.
Yeah, traffic is insane now. I mean, insane. It's hours in and out. I mean, some days we get no work done.
And a lot of aggressive people. You know, it's like everyone goes out on the road with a bit of a chip, right? And you're like, okay. So, but whatever. We're not here to fix the traffic. We're here to fix some property. So what is your favorite thing? Like if somebody calls you up, Matt, my deck is blown out or my siding or my roof. Which one goes, or which one do you go, all right?
Painting is the one that I try to...
Love?
No. Oh, no, Matt. Absolutely. No.
That's a man. No. That's
I'm good at painting. That's the problem. But, you know, I'll do it once every couple months and I get my fix. I'm like, okay, no more painting for, you know, 2 more months.
Yeah.
So, painting is not my thing. But anything with wood, you know, trim work, decks, any of that kind of stuff, that I absolutely love. Anything with numbers.
Well, I think we've all learned that it really isn't the painting. It's the prep.
Yeah, it is.
I hate and prep
I'm sloppy.
Painting.
I don't understand it. I say I'm gonna, you know, this is gonna be beautiful, and then it's sloppy, paint everywhere.
And I'm the guy that you know you probably appreciate because I will do kind of a shitty job and then have to have you come and fix it. But I'm the guy that puts down the tarp, right, and then there's just one little corner. I'm like, that corner's fine.
Yeah, and that's plop, where it hits.
And
yep.
The paint hits every that time. Spot. I'm like, oh my god, that's crazy. Have you ever built like a full house?
No, I could, you know, I had the knowledge to, just like I said, just the bodies, but I would hope to do it just to say I've done it.
Is that like your goal? I mean, is that what every handyman shoots for one day?
It probably is, but my goal is not, you know, right where I'm at, I think I'm good. I like to stay. I mean, you know, most handyman probably want to move to that level and be some big business, but I'm perfectly fine with, you know, 2 or 3 guys.
You're content. Yeah. Yep. And I appreciate that because as a guy that owns like a little salon, I'm always like, man, maybe I should buy another salon, right? Maybe. And for me, it's usually about trying to make some more money, right? The maximum amount of money with the least amount of work. And sometimes more seems like that's going to do it. But in the end, you just end up with a lot more headaches and regret.
Yep. And that's what I kind of see. If I get any more guys, it's more babysitting and headaches, you know, the 2 or 3. They're great, and I can, you know, kind of keep my eye on them, per se.
Yeah.
And I have other business ventures that I'm thinking about, so, you know, I might move in that direction, still do this, but, you know, try to do something else, too.
Well, and I think the one thing I always hear when I'm, like, in... Because as a guy that owns a salon, a lot of people have a lot of conversations, but the one that I always hear is that, yeah, they'll call you back, and then you sign up to do the work, and then you can't get a hold of them.
Oh, you're talking about his customers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear it all the time. Yeah, I've had 4 guys come out and say they'll give me an estimate. One actually gave me an estimate, and then I called him to do the work, and he never came and done the work.
Yeah, never came back.
Every time. half these people, they don't even want a price. They're like, you showed up, you want the job, you have the job.
Please.
I mean, it's that easy. Please, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, we become so desperate, we're just handing money to complete strangers.
Yeah, I don't understand how these guys are making a living. They don't show, I don't know.
I think one of the challenges for me, if I was in your shoes, would be how do I not, because as this position, as this handyman kind of role, I mean, you can go anywhere, right? As soon as you become like a builder, now you've got, you need the property. Now you've got, you know, all the Del Dot and everything else that goes along with it.
Right. And you know, I think moving to that stage, what I'm most scared of, not scared, but having to rely on different subs.
Right.
You know, their name, my name's on it, but they're doing the work. And when they mess up, it's my job. So then, you know, the blame gets put on me. So I don't know. It's just.
No, listen, one of the things I've taken from watching this process of a house being built is everybody makes mistakes. And
right.
A lot of these builders just are like, just sign the damn papers and then we'll come back and fix everything.
Right. And that's how it works.
Yeah.
Right.
It's, so, you know, it's almost like not in the building business. It's almost like in the fix the building we just built business.
Right.
Which and is, it's, you know, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I forget what I was going to say.
Probably something.
So the jobs that I do, you know, I know that they're being done correctly because they're small and I'm on the job and I'm doing the work or you know, checking my guys' work instead of these big houses and big additions.
Yeah. Well, it is a... Well, and the houses are getting bigger. The house we bought, it's definitely bigger than what we were living in. I'm sure some people would probably say it's a big house. I would say it's a big house. I mean, it's, I think, 3,000 square foot. But I tell you what, with three kids, it almost doesn't feel big enough.
Right.
And
I bet.
It's so loud in this house. You know what I mean? It's... We've
echoing.
Yeah, we've built these. I mean, it's amazing. It's a beautiful house, but it's so. I'm like, shut up, everybody, shut up. It's just so. It's like a museum.
All right.
Do you ever have people that come to you and say, "Hey, man, can you quiet down my house?"
No, not really. I've never had that request. But yeah.
Would you be interested in doing something like that?
Yeah, they make soundproofing, like insulation and stuff. I mean, I guess it could be done.
Yeah, well, I was at a meeting the other day, and I was looking at the ceiling, don't ask me why, and there was these squares all over the ceiling, and I'm like, that's for noise. It was like it was at the senior center over in Lewis.
Oh.
And they have the big squares on the ceiling, and I'm like, that must be for noise.
Huh. So interesting.
Maybe you can put that, you can add that on your list.
Yeah,
noise reduction.
Anything to make the list, you know, bigger and better.
Yeah. How many projects do you like to try to take on, juggle?
So most of our jobs are less than one day jobs. I mean, unless we're on bathroom remodels, they're a couple days. But most jobs won't take more than 3 days. But sometimes we'll do 5 or 6 little jobs in a day. You know, okay. It all depends. You know, days are just so different, and that's what I love about it. It's just, you know, something different every day.
Well, the struggle I feel for this sort of area that you're in is that all of these, like, Angie lists and all these different apps or websites grab up all this business. And, like, when you try to reach out, it's like you have to go through a third party. Have you done that?
I have not.
Don't do it.
I had looked into it when I first started just to see kind of what it was about. And basically all they want you to do is pay them money for leads.
Right.
And I mean, thankfully I've never had to do that. You know, my name kind of speaks for itself and it's gotten around. But then you have to watch out because customers are hiring these people that might not have insurance or don't have the expertise or the licensing. So then they botch the job and then they're coming for, you know, someone like me to fix it. And then, you know, they're questioning our integrity just because they've got burned. So it makes us all look bad.
I remember I wanted to move a couch and I went on the internet, and I'm like, you know, how can I find someone? And so I start, and then I find a guy and I start talking with him. And then all of a sudden I'm talking to someone with Angie's List. And then this other company's calling me and I'm like, well, but I've already been talking to this guy. And so in the end, I think I ended up burning one of the guys. I didn't mean to, but I didn't know where I was
Right. How
headed,
it was working.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't even, so I'm like, I'm not fixing anything. I'm just not going to hire anybody because yeah. I don't want to.
I mean, it is, it's scary out there. And I guess the Delaware laws kind of favor the contractor, and that's why some of these contractors are taking advantage of these customers. It's a shame.
Yeah. Well, and I would imagine as a contractor, having five people call and four of them not do anything would start to be frustrating.
Right. So you're going to just kind of grab the first guy that says, yeah, I'll do it, right. Not knowing anything about them. So
if somebody wanted to, and we'll put the number, we'll put your website, but they reached out to you and said, hey, you know, we need a project. Do you send somebody out or do you come out yourself? Just depends.
So it's usually me or my mom will go out depending on how involved it is. You know, she doesn't really know building, but
right.
She can go out and measure a deck and take some pictures. Other than that, I do all of that, meeting the customers, and I still do the work at the same time. So I'm kind of all over the place at all times, just running ragged. But I wouldn't want to change any of it.
Well, will your mom put on the belt and start swinging the hammer too?
Maybe. Hopefully when she retires, she kind of takes all that kind of role away with right. meeting, learn a little more and meet the customers and get estimates and write the estimates up. I do all that right now, so.
Are we starting to see any fluctuation in the prices of, like, things?
A little bit. It has come down. You know, plywood before the pandemic was around $10. During the pandemic, it went up to, like, $90 at one point. I think it's down. I haven't bought it in a while. Maybe 25-ish right now. So, yeah, things are coming down. Things are getting better. But I think this might be the new normal, too. I don't think we'll ever see, you know, pre-2020 prices.
No. Well, we're paying people now.
Well, and, you know, inflation, everything's up too, so.
I saw something the other day that said that what we get paid compared to inflation is the same thing that we've been paid since 1972.
Right. I saw that too.
Wow, that's a bummer. That's annoying.
Yeah.
Let's say if, you know, we had this house built. We had an unfinished storage area, which is basically plywood. It's framed. It's got the electric in, but that's it. I want to finish it. I don't know if I physically want to finish it or if I want somebody to finish it. But do you ever find someone that's like, I want to do part of this, and then I want you to do part of it? Like, because, listen, unfortunately, you know, even in my business, we're always trying to figure out ways to save a little money. And it's like, I want to do this. I don't want to not do it. I can't do it all by myself. Do you ever like, or does that become annoying?
No, we do. Kind of that a lot. You know, we want to make it easy for the customer. So whatever's easiest for you, if you want to buy the materials, if that helps you out, you can buy the materials and we do it. Or if you want to do half the project and, you know, then have us come in, that's totally fine. Whatever's easiest. I find that customers appreciate that, you know, being easy and flexible.
If somebody was thinking of doing that, would you suggest they maybe give you a call? Like, I don't know how many times you come into a project and the guy's like, yeah, I did half of it. And you're like,
oh, my God.
Good job. Right. Great job, man. But I got, you know, you should have asked me first. Because we should probably have thought about what's going to be here and what's going to be here. Do you ever have that?
Yeah. And I guess it would if the question is, should you have called me ahead of time? Probably just so we can kind of get on the same page. And maybe you're not knowledgeable. Maybe you should have done it this way or that way, and then it would have been easier on us.
Well, I'm thinking about finishing this room, and I'm like, well, maybe I can put up just the insulation.
Is it like the basement?
No, it's the attic.
Oh, the attic.
Yeah.
And there's stairs up to it.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, if I can put the insulation in. I mean, I might be able to put the drywall.
You'll be itching for days.
I know, but listen, I want to get it finished. We just spent a lot of money on the house. I'm like, why didn't we get this finished the first time? But I'm like, you know, and they're like, yeah, we'll finish it. And we had that sort of happen a few times in this project. We're like, we'll get that finished. We'll come back and finish that. I'm like, if we're not finishing it, then
it's
we're not doing it.
Because
I am not doing it. Right. I'm going to tell you that right now. And so either let's do it or let's not do it. But don't put it on my shoulders because I'm not the guy.
Yeah.
But this room, you know, now my kids put a ping pong table up there and it's all of a sudden becoming quite the social room, and it's getting cold.
So insulation, flooring, drywall.
It'd be insulation, flooring, Yeah, I mean, there's plywood. You have to put something, or I don't know, a rug or something, and then drywall. But the other thing we had to figure out is, so we have one of those Mitsubishi units for my son already in his room up there.
Mini splitter.
I don't know if we could mini split it and pump air in both rooms, or if it would be enough to cover, or it'd be too much. There are windows. We can maybe put a little. I'm not gonna put a window unit.
Yeah,
I would.
That's the old school ways.
Give a couple chains.
Yeah.
No, the association.
Yeah, they don't. They look down on that.
Yeah, they don't like that window unit hanging out the side of your house. But you know, if I was gonna do something like that, I'd maybe say, hey, you know, if I put the insulation up, you know,
will you come? Yeah, do the rest. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is I think we can have the drywall put in through because there's like a balcony.
The window. Yeah. Oh, yeah, door.
Double doors.
Oh, yeah, so perfect. So I think we can have they can boom it up.
Put it right in there. Mm-hmm.
So that's, and that's one of the only things that we don't do is drywall, but that is one sub that I do use that I trust is a drywall guy.
Well, I could even, I have put up drywall. I just don't think I could tape it.
Yeah, I mean, we can hang it all day, but the taping in mud, that is a special skill.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do it, but it's going to take me a week where the drywall guy can get it done in 2 hours.
I probably follow 10 drywall tapers on Instagram. Yeah.
It's a special skill.
That business is booming right now. There's innovation happening every day. I mean, they got these little things. They just walk along the wall. It tapes it now. Puts the mud
I've seen some of those crazy innovations.
Yeah, well, if it was you and me doing it, it would be like,
oh, it'd be everywhere.
Tear it off.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. What about roofing? I saw roofing was part of your thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, you know, we're not going to do a whole house roof. There's only three of us, but you know, a shed or an addition or something. Yeah, we'll do.
Well, and it sounds like you team up with some people too. Like if someone needed a whole roof, you might be able to.
Yeah, I mean, I have guys that I can always call that can help. So yeah.
Do you like that? Because I, like I said a few minutes ago, you know, cooperation over competition. You know, one of the first things that when I opened the salon, I was like, you know, no salons open around me, you know, because this is my area, right? This is at least how I felt. And then, you know, a salon opens, you're like, oh, well, now we're dead.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are contractors, and there's so much work out there. I'm not hurting them, and they're not hurting me, you know, and I want to see them do well. I would never talk bad about, you know, another contractor.
Of course. I mean, that's just good stuff. That's what happens when you live in a small town.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing the work correctly, it doesn't matter competition. You know, you're going to get the calls. You're going to get the work. So,
well, and I
just focus on myself.
People love that the idea of remember the local sticker? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it ain't the sticker. It's who you know.
Yep, it's who you know.
Town. You can be here 20 years, but if you don't know anybody, you know, you're really not local.
Yep.
Have you been to the New Nicholas?
I have three times.
And
Nicola's is that's one of my favorite restaurants.
Dude,
absolutely.
It was funny. Somebody badmouthed I don't know what they badmouthed. The pizza? I think they badmouthed the pizza. Ooh, they got a beating on Facebook.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because people are like,
you got diehard customers.
Listen, I love Nicola's. I like their Nick Boley's. Their pizza, I don't know, it's sort of we're all trying to be different, right? So we all got different types of pizza. I do think it's good.
Oh, I love their pizza.
Yeah, their pizza's good. We have not been over to the new spot yet, but I keep telling my wife, I want to go over and try out the new spot. I'm a big fan of Nikki and all those folks. And I just, it was funny last night because somebody, I don't know, badmouthed the pizza and the town rose.
Let them have it.
Yeah. And then they're posting all these things. Not my Nicoboli. You know, I've been eating these for 50 years. And it was funny because...
It was actually my first job, too, Nicola's Pizza, when I was 15 or 16.
Is that right?
Down on the avenue, yeah.
You remember the big guy, the big delivery guy?
I do.
Mike?
I don't. That sounds familiar, though.
It was
though.
Mike with the glasses?
I think so.
That guy was great. When I moved to Rehoboth, what was it, February 4th, 1994, and I lived at the Henlopen Junction. And back in those days, it was so different. And we'd order Nicola's all the time. And they delivered cars.
Yep.
And I think it was Mike. And he would always deliver our Nicoboli's.
And they hadn't been delivering for years, right? They stopped that a while ago.
Yeah. I don't.
And now they're closer. I'm glad they're closer to Milton.
Maybe they'll start delivering again.
Absolutely. That'd be awesome.
Well, I think for a while it was like you can't leave Rehoboth. But we are definitely starting to see, you know, people coming out.
A lot of businesses are moving out of there for one reason or another.
Yeah. I think it was probably, rent. I don't know. Yeah, I was going to say
I've heard. That's just rumor. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they got a new barbecue place. Bethany Blues, I think, opened.
Took
their
spot. Took Nicola's spot.
So hopefully they have a lot of success. I do love, a couple weekends ago, I was like, all right, I'm going to go find a barbecue guy. You know, I've had Brian Thomas was just on Uncle B's Kitchen. He's doing the barbecue thing. The folks down at Long Neck, the Indian Taco truck is down there. And usually right next to them, they're doing like ribs and all this stuff. And I told my brother was coming down. He's from Newark. And I'm like, we're going to go get barbecue and we're having everybody over for ribs. I'm going to go one of these, you know, barbecue trucks on the corner. And we went out to Long Neck and they weren't out there.
Really?
No, they weren't barbecuing that day.
Wasn't there one right over here?
Well, Smoking D's. So,
are they not open very often either, though?
They're open. You know, they're like teachers. They're from summer Memorial Day to Labor Day. I shouldn't say that. I don't. We were in Long Neck. Beelined it over to Smoking D's to try to get some barbecue. Couldn't get any there. Ended up going to Bethany Blues, and so they saved my ass, and we got some ribs.
And, yeah, and they have good food too.
Oh, excellent food. Been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? Where did you go to school? We're hearing a lot of people, you know, we need more trades, you know, more tradesmen, more, you know, HVAC, whatever it is. Is that what you, I know you, oh, that's right. You went to the Navy.
So I went to Sussex Tech, actually a trade school.
Okay.
And I took up electronics. You know, I always liked that aspect of getting inside a computer or TV and the components. So then I went into the military on submarines and did electronics work, got out, went to college for electronics. So I thought that was my career path.
Yeah.
Well, while I was going to college, I always did construction on the side. I met a great friend now, Tim Setzer, that I learned construction from, and that's kind of how it evolved.
Dude, I love it when you meet a guy that's, or a woman, right?
Actually, and he worked for me for a short time, which was very humbling. You know, the guy that taught me construction ended up coming work for my company. So it was great.
Yeah. Dude, what a better way to get back.
He taught me a lot.
Old craftsmanship is just, I mean, I watch these guys on Instagram. And I don't know how. They're in my Instagram. I just sit there and mindlessly watch reels and stuff. But they do all this great woodworking. I love how they show, like, corners come together. They're like two weird-looking pieces, and they just funk and fit right. You're like, oh.
How did he do that?
That is sweet. You know, when you get out the chisels, you know, work. One of the guys that I follow on YouTube that does the acrylic live-edge tables, you know, he puts those bow tie things in that holds the cracks together. Mm-hmm. Well, I've watched him. I haven't been watching him for years, but I've gone back and watched older videos that he's done. And, you know, at one point he was kind of doing the bow ties freehand. You know, he's like, okay. And then he would come back just chisel in the edges. And then he created a template that he just glues, he puts two-sided tape. And he just cuts these big bow ties out and then just runs them through the bandsaw. And then he ends up with these great things. And, you know, he's like, I really love these corners. I'm like, looks like a corner. But, you know, they're very passionate.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
And he's like, I got this Brazilian something that we'll use for the bow ties. It's
harder or softer. Or whatever. Yeah, they know all about them different kinds of woods and stuff.
Yeah.
It is fascinating.
Any cool, like, acrylic projects? I've seen people that have, you know, created almost like a beach, ocean wave crashing on the beach.
We just started really kind of tinkering with it just because I've been seeing so many people interested in it and videos and stuff. So hopefully we can make some of that. I know what you're talking about, how the waves kind of go in and stuff.
Yeah, and it's really beautiful. Cool.
And they're selling for high dollar in these stores here.
The guy I was watching, I think his table sell for $60,000. $60,000.
Yeah, I'm in the wrong business.
But listen, that's a lot of work.
I mean, it's a lot of work.
He is
the little ones we've done were a lot of work. So,
and he's in there trying to flip this giant piece of wood over. I mean,
by
he's
himself.
Literally, literally had to buy a forklift just to move his giant. I think it's probably chunks of redwood, you know, whatever it is. It's crazy, and I'm like, I'm gonna get into that business.
Them guys that do, they are passionate. I mean, they're really into it.
Yeah. Well. have you ever, I mean, is that, do you get into a business and all of a sudden you find something you just love?
And kind of go that way? I've always thought about that. I always thought if something really hit, would I kind of give up everything else and just go that direction? But I still love that every day it's something new. You know, I think, you know, doing the same thing day in and day out, it would just get old over time. So I can say that I wouldn't do that, but maybe, you know, something might come up and I might just do that. Who knows? Okay.
I'd try that. I'd give that a shot.
Yeah.
Well, I do think it's, I think that I love, you know, one of the cool things is like YouTube and being able to watch so many different
I've learned
people.
So much from, YouTubes and other people.
Yeah. I watch YouTube and YouTube. That's about all I watch. I stream YouTube. I call it educational TV.
Yep,
my
wife's me
like,
too. That's
shut
me.
That off.
If I always have, if I have a question, YouTube, someone knows it better than I do.
Yeah. Well, I was reading this book, The Fourth Turning, and it talks about these chunks of time and that we're in the crisis, right? And it says that it's the millennials that's going to save us. It talks about it in this book, the millennials. I'm like, well, but it is really. I mean, it's the artists. You know, it's these creators, these YouTube. You know, these people on YouTube. You know, I've said this before. Prior to the pandemic, you know, maybe you were a server. After the pandemic, now you're painting murals on that restaurant. You know, it's this real. And it talks about the artists that are going to save us. I mean, what you're doing is an art. Right, you just it maybe isn't on paper, right? You're not painting it, but
right, but it's a form of art.
Damn right, and I tell you, when it looks good, people are like, oh, that is beautiful,
and that's the best feeling at the end of a project, looking at it and saying, you know, I did that or we did that. It's an amazing feeling.
If somebody said, "Hey, Matt, I was thinking about, I either want to get like a screen-in porch or a deck," what would you say?
You have to live with it.
Yeah,
we get those questions all the time. Well, should we do this? What color that? Or, you know, we're like, look, we're just here to really do the work. You know, we're not designers. It's whatever you feel, you know, whatever you're wanting to do, we'll do it. But
people say, well, you're the in my business, in the hair business, they're like, you're the expert. I'm like, I know how to cut hair.
You're right. What do you want?
I don't know how to, float your boat. You know, what makes you happy? I do not know. But
so
I
that can get
hair.
A little frustrating sometimes because people expect us to have all the answers. And, you know, it's whatever you want, we'll do.
Well, I'll tell you, screen and porch, because I've had both. Decks in Delaware are terrible.
Oh, my God. You're replacing them in 10 years.
Well, and you can't use them. You just can't. I mean, I had at our old house, my dad's like, we're going to build a deck. I go, all right, go ahead. So he builds this big 20, I don't know, whatever, gargantuan deck, big table, you know, the grill. We got the whole layout. And it's so freaking hot.
Oh, right. You can't get out of the sun.
No, you cannot get out of the sun. And so what do? We buy the big umbrella, right? And then we have that midsummer breeze. Storm that takes your umbrella and puts
takes
it in the
umbrella
neighbor's,
out.
into the neighbor's yard and breaks one bar. And then you're like, oh, well, that's that umbrella. And then it's just, you know, when we built this new house, they were like, you know, you can have a deck or you can have a screen-in porch or you can just have a, you know, something, you know, a porch without a screen or whatever. And part of me is like, well, man, I love a deck, you know, grilling. And but I go, nah, let's do a screen-in porch. We love the screen-in porch. I mean, it's just so nice.
And it helps
nice.
With the bugs, too, I'm sure.
And you know what else they did that I didn't realize they did? Was they screened the bottom of the porch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was clever.
Yep.
I'm like, why did they do that? And my wife's like, so the bugs don't
so
come
the bugs,
in through
yep.
the thing. I was like,
yep.
Brilliant.
Now, have you had any of your screen panels rip out yet due to the wind?
No.
Because we repair those a lot, too.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily the contractor did it wrong. It's just, the, you know, high winds and whatever angle maybe.
Well, and you can tighten that stuff down too tight. And when you crimp that screen.
Oh, yeah. It'll end up ripping.
Kiss of death on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we've really. So if someone says, hey, Matt, should we build a deck or a screened-in porch? I'd say Tom said screened-in porch.
Screened-in porch.
Yeah.
That's my new answer.
Yeah, because it's you get more use out of it. But you can't take a grill in there, I guess.
No. And you probably have to tell some people that because. They might not be too smart.
Matt, you need to come fix our faucet. We melted it.
Yeah.
You hunt? You're a hunter?
Yeah. Actually going to West Virginia in a week.
Oh.
My first time actually hunting outside of Delaware.
What will we be hunting?
Whitetail.
Okay.
Whitetail deer. Yep.
Do you, rifle. Are you a big fan of deer meat?
Yes. Yep. I'll eat deer meat over anything else if I have it.
Right.
And that's kind of what's sad, you know, with all this building too. Us guys that grew up hunting here, you know, a lot of the land that we hunted is now houses.
Yeah.
So.
Well, flushing them out for you. Yeah, come you on out here. Well, and I agree, but there's still plenty of land.
There is.
I see a lot of trucks. You know, this is a why is that truck just parked in the field? It's like they're hunting. You know, there are a lot of trucks in the field.
Out of these people that moved down here, they probably do ask that question. Why is that truck in the field?
Well, I am in envy of hunters. I want to hunt. I want to.
Have you never been?
I never been. I didn't grow up here. I grew up in New Mexico. Nobody hunted out there, and then I was moved here from
probably
San
Diego.
Probably
nothing that lives out there, huh?
Elk?
Oh, is there elk out there?
In New Mexico?
Okay.
Oh, dude. You'd be like giddy.
Yeah.
Not that I've seen an elk, but I know there's parts of New Mexico I think that they have.
I want an elk.
I want an elk. It's like you need to spend like $3,000 to go shoot an elk.
Oh, no.
It's like expensive. I can't afford to go shoot something.
And then you got to drag the big thing out wherever you kill it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's it. I think wherever there are elk, I'm sure that the, you know, the authorities that cover that kind of thing are like, listen, if you're going to go shoot an elk, you need someone that's going to help you take this out. They don't want you shooting an elk and being like, I can't get it.
Oh, yeah. No. That's bad.
That's bad. I think that's
you eat your meat. Whatever you shoot, you make sure you eat it or give it to someone to eat it.
Well, and I was my wife's friend's husband. He's big into it. You probably even know him. He does electrical, in fact. But he, you know, he's got his deer stand. I mean, his camera. You know, he's been feeding these deers all winter, all summer. I don't know how it goes. So, you know, don't yell at me. But she's like, oh, look at this. And I guess Andrew sent a picture of the buck. And he was going out like 3 a.m. and he was getting ready.
I know, it's crazy. You can see everything before it happens. You know, you don't have to sit out there anymore. You can just look on the camera. Oh, the deer's not coming out, you know, during the day. I guess I don't have to hunt today.
Did you ever watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Did you watch House of Dragons?
I started it. I kind of lost interest.
Dude, it's good.
I know. Everyone says that. You got to sit through it, but...
Give it a shot.
I lost interest after, I think, the second episode, maybe.
So did I. Yeah. But I pushed through, and it gets really good. But if you saw, maybe it was the first episode, but the king comes in. I think he must kill the first deer of the year or something. But they got the deer all tied up, and he basically can't move. Did you see that? And then the king walks up and stabs it, and that's the hunt. I was like...
That's it.
That's how I need to hunt.
That's right.
Because I'd probably fall out of the tree stand. Do you you hunt like geese and all? Are you a full?
We did. You know, we did. We had a lot more open fields and ponds that we hunted. That was actually my favorite thing was goose hunting. But I haven't been 5 years probably.
Yeah, goose.
They're fun. It's fun. Bird hunting is so much fun.
Is it?
Oh my gosh! Seeing those birds lock up and come right. It's awesome.
It is cool when the geese drop in.
Yeah.
I went to a party. I don't know, many years ago, and walked in and they had all this food. I was like, oh, steak tartare. It was just raw looking steak, and I go, oh, well, let's have some of that. Pop that in my mouth. I was like, that is not steak. I think that's goose. Oops.
It's pretty good though. I mean, depending on how it's cooked.
Yeah, I don't know why I have like this hang up for some reason on goose. Maybe because I was in the golf course business for a long time.
You see them as friends.
I see them as enemies.
Or enemies.
Flying pigs. I mean, they come in, they eat your grass, they crap all over the greens. We used to have to go out there with big rakes and push off goose poop. And they're a nasty beast.
Yeah.
That's funny. So how many do you think it's going to be a good winter? You got a lot of projects set up. Are we going to make it, Matt? Are we going to be there?
Yeah, I think we're going to make it. One thing in this business is I never really go 2 or 3 weeks out from scheduling. So I can't, you know, see what's going to happen this winter. But I'm getting a lot of calls right now, so I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Well, I think whether this podcast helps, I want you to give me some cards. That way I can – because I swear to God, people are like – you know any handyman? Because like I said, like we started the podcast off, nobody, it's no man's land out there.
Yep.
It's like walking into the dark first, dark forest first. And you don't, it's like you can't even figure out where to start anymore.
It is. It's crazy.
Maybe you can expand the handyman business. Don't become a builder. Just be a fleet of handymen.
I would love to. If I can find the guys that you know I can trust, we can be the fleet of handymen.
Don't start becoming a property manager.
No, don't start building cabinets. I'm happy with this.
Yeah.
And people love it. Everybody like seeing the guy come fix whatever.
Well, the other kind of cool thing about when you start a business is that you allow a person that is in that field to find work, right? You're providing a place for a guy to work. And sometimes, you know, some people can't quite get everything together. They know how to do the work, but
right.
You know,
and I would love to have a young guy that I can kind of mold and train. Sure. I mean, ideally, that I would love that.
Yeah.
You know, keep it passionate.
So you don't have Instagram?
No. I mean, I have a personal Instagram, but I don't really use it. I have a Facebook business page and a internet business page.
Well, I always ask people how they enjoy the social media side of business because it has become a thing, but it seems like you're pretty busy.
I started out kind of promoting on Facebook. That's how I kind of got it rolling to the point where I quit my full-time job and started doing this. On that Who Would You Refer website or a Facebook page. So that's kind of how my name started getting out there. So to me, it was kind of easy, with social media. I don't know how people used to do it back in the day, getting their name out.
They used to just get their name out.
Right. I mean, I guess walk door to door and hang out business card. I don't know how they did, but Facebook made it very, very easy.
The Yellow Pages. Remember we used to have the Yellow Pages.
Yep.
And that was our first It was a yellow book, but that was, you know, that's how, you know, you would look up.
That's true. Yeah.
Remember AAA Handyman? It was always this kind of these first letters.
They want to put it as A, so you're
first on the list.
Yep.
There's always some game, right?
It's always a game.
Shut the game down. Yep.
It's always a game.
It's A to Z, AAA, the A Brothers.
That's funny.
Handyman. But that was the thing. But man, you know, we do a Discovery Music podcast, and we're big fans of a girl by the name of Morgan Wade. She's a country singer. And she has a Facebook page and all that stuff. And so I'm like, hey, I just sent her a message. I'm like, hey, we do this social Discovery Music podcast. We'd love to get you on. We've had several people on the podcast. We were doing a lot of stuff through Firefly and Dion Lamb, who's part of the podcast. He's, you know, great at reaching out at artists and doing. We do Zoom stuff with them. And I'm like, hey, you know, we'd love to get you on. We're big fans. And then I start getting these texts back of very busy with show, like this kind of broken English kind of reply. And I'm like, oh. And I go, well, we would love to. She's not sure. Must talk to manager. Like
not normal speaking.
Are you all right, Morgan? And finally, they're like, well, whoever was texting me back, like, here's my manager's number. Give him a call. So I did. No answer. Then I get a text. I see you called. We'd love to have Morgan on your podcast, but that's going to require you to pay us some money. And I'm like,
scam.
Damn. I mean, jeez. I'm like, good luck. I'm like, how much? $2, $3? No. But so the point of that was, man, you got to pick and choose, you know, when you think you're on the right path with, a handyman or, you know, some sort of, you know, HVAC or something. And then, but you never know.
Yeah. Right?
And when you find out, you're like,
roll of dice.
Glory, you want to tell the world, and people like they're just waiting. A real handyman that's out there,
yeah, that's me.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, listen, your website, and did you do your website?
I did not, I paid for it.
It's good, I really like it, it really moves well. And it's a man who can, but it's
Matt, a man who can,
Matt, a man who can, but it says a man who can, Matt, a man who can, .com, and then you can find you on Facebook. And what, send you just a message?
Yeah.
Or give you a call?
Yeah. Message, call, email. If a woman picks up, it's my mom.
Do you want to give her a name?
Terry.
Terry. Mm-hmm. All right, Terry.
Terry Holton. Love you, Mom.
Love you, Mom. All right, brother. Well, listen, thank you.
Thank you.
I know you were a little nervous, but
yeah, thank
don't
you.
Be nervous. People say, well, what am I going to talk about? just chatting, you know, just so people can learn about you. And maybe in the last hour, they'll realize you're not a thief and a liar. and
I
that's
hope
what,
so.
That's what we're trying to show here. Yeah. I appreciate you. I'm definitely going to have you come and check out our little project and see what you can help us with. And then I'm sure you're going to do an amazing job. And we'll
take care of you. I appreciate it.
All right, brother. Catch you later, man.
Thank you.
Late.